You know something on Sober Revolt? NAMM is about promoting not only musical products, but the musicians as well that help endorse the products or just want to show their face and spread their music and their love at the same time. And I'm here right now with a good friend of mine, or I hope she'll be a good friend down the line because we're already Instagram friends. She's the lead singer of this wonderful group called Evil Walk, if I said it right. And they're a hard rock group, and she is a blazing hot redhead with a fiery voice and a passionate Australian kick-ass attitude. So without further ado, please help me welcome from Evil Walk, the lead singer, Miss Leah Martin Brown. How you doing, Leah?
I'm fantastic, Brandon. How are you today?
I'm exhausted. I'm just walking around a lot, but hey, I'm having a blast. How about you? How you doing in NAMM?
I'm good. This is my first day of NAMM this year, my first and only day. I did 3 days last year, and I don't have time to be sick, so I'm having a great time so far.
Well, that's good. Like I said, we're on Instagram, and you just did a pretty long holiday, as you guys call it, in Australia visiting family. How was it over there?
It was really nice. I'm luckily from further north, so the fires didn't really affect my region.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good, but it was very sad down south. I did go and visit Melbourne, and the smoke haze was really intense. So, yeah. But other than that, it was really nice to be home and just relaxing.
I gotta ask, I'm not too familiar with the fires, and like, what I'm not familiar with is how did they start? Was it just dryness or something?
Well, we've been in a drought for quite a long time, so it's bushfire season anyway, that's what we call it. So we usually do get bushfires, but not to this magnitude. Storms, the dryness, some were accidentally lit, some were intentionally lit. It's a whole bunch of things.
Oh, because usually we have the fires up here during the fall, and it's usually started by arson or some other stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
Like not checking the electric wires of the telephone poles frequently like they should.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my bad, our bad. It's like, your bad? Isn't it your job to check it? Our bad.
I know, right?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Evil Walk. So where did that name come from? And it's spelled E-V-O-L.
Yeah. So it's actually an old school AC/DC song. It's Evil Walks, like E-V-I-L, and it's about like this evil woman. And when I was deciding on a name for a band, that was kind of like the archetype. Like, it was kind of the stereotype I was going for, because, you know, men in rock always talk about this, like, evil woman, and she broke my heart, and blah, blah. So I was like, yeah, I could, like, that's a character that I could play. That would be kind of cool. And then my manager at the time was like, well, you're not really evil. You're actually a really nice person. He's like, so why don't we call it Evil, like, short for evolution or love backwards?
Exactly. Yeah. It spells love backwards. Yeah. So Love Walks.
Yeah, and it's also, like, AC/DC is one of my favorite bands. I mean, that song is a Brian Johnson song. I'm a Bon Scott girl, but, you know, when we first started, we were much more AC/DC. So it's kind of drawing inspiration from all these different things that kind of have always been, like, a part of what I love about music.
Well, you're from the Down Under, so AC/DC is an iMag band for you. Well, at least it's not the Wiggles.
Oh, God. I love the Wiggles.
Oh, sure. Who
doesn't? They're
doing
a pub tour.
I mean, hey, they get a lot of old lady granny panties thrown on stage for some reason.
They're actually doing a pub tour in Australia, an 18 plus, which is the drinking age in Australia, tour of all of the bars. And they're doing all of their old songs.
All the kids' songs?
Yes!
Oh, my God. I never thought that they're a children's group, but somehow they're getting ladies' panties thrown on the stage.
I think it's because all of the ladies, we used to watch them when they were kids or something. I don't know.
Who the hell knows? I never really watched them.
Whatever floats your boat, right?
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, if I'm in Los Ramones.
Exactly.
Well, were you a fan of also NXS? Because those were my guys, too.
Yeah, I do like NXS.
Those guys need to be in the Hall of Fame.
They do. Aren't they? They're not already, are they?
No, they're not. And they're not even they have not gotten nominated yet, and I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Well, hey, they just announced the Hall of Fame inductees this year, and none of our rock guys got in.
No. I mean, Nine Inch Nails did, which I was excited about. Whitney Houston is in exactly rock, so I'm questioning that one.
Yeah, well, same thing with Notorious B.I.G., but then again, it's Notorious B.I.G., I love them.
Yeah, you can't really argue with that.
Yeah, but it's all a dream. I used to read Wood Up Magazine. And I was like, that guy just was a poet.
Oh, I know, right? Well, I'm actually quite sad that I really wanted Motorhead to get in, so it's kind of annoying that they didn't, but...
Murderhead? Really?
I like Murderhead.
I don't know if the name Murderhead's going to get you inducted in the Hall of Fame, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, then again, they don't want Motley Crue in there because they're like, because of all the bad behavior. I'm like, look at the Rolling Stones and look what they did, and they're in.
I know. I think there's so many politics at play, but, you know, it's good to watch the ceremony every year. And
yeah, and I've been to the museum itself, and it's a beautiful place. I don't like the people who vote for it, but I like the institution. I've seen all those great memorabilia.
Yeah.
They even have Lizzie Hale's jacket and guitar in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So back to Evil Walks. You're a hard rock group, and you guys, you said that you were you kind of like are similar, or you were based on AC/DC in a way.
Originally, yeah.
Yes. So as you would evolve, as your name would say, where did your sound go with it?
Honestly, it's always evolving. Like when I started writing, our first record was very much like straight up rock and roll, party vibes, you know, super classic rock. The album that we just released, I mean, it's almost a year old now. I think it actually is a year old. Wow. Yeah, so a year ago, the EP we released, it was much darker and it had more of like a modern rock spin on it. And now the music I'm working on for the upcoming record, it's darker again, but less modern. I've kind of dialed it back to being a little bit more classic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but still like heavy and hard and melodic.
When you say classic, what band do you think of? Like classic AC/DC or something else?
It's honestly, it's so hard to say. It's like the new stuff is a blend of so many different things. Like one of the songs, it's like the guitar like tones that we've used and the way that we've done the drums is very like Metallica Megadeth-ish.
Ooh, nice.
And then there's another song we've worked on that it's very like, it's kind of more modern in like a Sleeping with Sirens kind of way, but then it has elements of like Tool and Led Zeppelin.
Oh, wow.
Which is like, it's a bit, there's a bunch of shit going on.
You've got everybody up there.
It's interesting. I think it's really hard to ask the songwriter what it sounds like, because to me, I know all the influences that went into it, so it may not necessarily be what it sounds like to someone else, but that's what I had in my head when I wrote it. So it kind of, without hearing it, it's kind of hard, because in my head, that's what it sounds like, but you might hear the record when it comes out and be like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about?
Well, hey, yeah, that's what I'll probably be like. Bitch, come on, let me understand it a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know, I can't hear what you're talking about, but okay.
But just don't sound like meaner where you kind of like garble yourself and sing nonsense.
No. I know, yeah, it's very pointed and to the point lyrics. You definitely know what I'm singing about. I actually sent one of the songs, I actually sent a copy to the person it was about, so that was, you know, they got it. So if they got it, I think everyone else will.
Well, with this new music ready to come out, are you guys going to get ready for some shows?
Yeah, well, I've only done two tracks off the record. It's going to be an album. We just signed with a new manager in September last year.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. So yeah, we've just been working on the new music, and it's kind of, we're just building it and getting ready to launch at the moment. So we're going to be doing like a few shows around LA and Vegas and places like that, but we're really trying to like put all of our time and like money into this record to make sure that it's, you know, the last record I was really happy with, so I want to make sure this one is better.
So with it being a full album, how many songs are you thinking about putting on there?
8 to 10.
Standard issue.
Yeah.
You got, I know it's still probably in the early stages, but are you throwing around some title names right now for the album or the songs itself?
I've got two songs totally finished. Like I could release them tomorrow if I wanted to, because I like to work on things being finished as I go. So I haven't really thought of an album name yet, because it's kind of evolving as I'm writing them.
Yeah.
But the two, I can tell you the name of the two songs that we've done so far, which is Back Where You Belong and Sleeping With a Ghost. So they're kind of, you know, they're kind of darker. So we'll see where the rest of it goes.
When you think of Sleeping With a Ghost, I'm kind of thinking of Ghost right now, the band.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I do love Ghost, actually. But no, Sleeping With a Ghost, that song is about, I wrote it about someone that I care for very deeply who's actually a raging drug addict. So it's like, you know, being with someone who you know is like, you know, not really there and like maybe not long of this earth.
So it's kind of like your version of Michelle.
Yeah, sort of. It's like you're with someone but they're not there.
For those of you who are ignorant, Michelle is the GNR song from Appetite for Destruction. Axl Rose wrote for an old friend who was a hardcore heroin addict at the time. If what I heard, it actually saved her life.
Yeah.
She's actually clean, I heard. So yeah, imagine amazing. That a song you're bashing somebody for their drug use, and then she ends up cleaning herself up.
Yeah, it would be nice if they did it. I sent them the song, actually, and they're like, it's a good song, but I want you to suck my dick. I was like, okay, well, that's fair. Maybe you'll like it better in a few years.
Yeah, well, it's GNR. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So tell me who was in the group exactly.
Okay, so there's me, myself, and then we have Logan Nikolic and Sam Bam, Colton. who also play in Butterside. We have Jimmy Lee, who's the drummer. He also plays with Edge of Paradise and Slant. And then we currently have a rotating bass player because all of my bass players have so much going on. So mostly our main guys are Nicholas Diltz, who's in All Hail the Yeti as well. We also play with Gabe Masker sometimes, and then Elliot Larango. But Elliot's always busy with Dorothy. So yeah.
Well, if you ever need a bass player to stand in for you, I'm a bass player, and I'll learn a couple of your songs.
Oh, you dope. Thank you.
Yeah, I've always just wanted to play on stage just once in front of people and be like, I know I suck, but I'm going to try, but I'm going to get better just so I can make myself look good and you look good.
Yeah, I love that.
All right, thank you. So what are your plans for the rest of the day of NAMM? I know you got one more interview that I know of right now.
Yeah, so I have one more interview after this. I'm going to go check out Gibson and Fender. I'm going to go check out VocoPro because they're a microphone company. They're the reason I'm here today. And then I'm actually having to go back to Los Angeles because I have something in Hollywood tonight, an event that I have to go to.
Ultimate Jam Night?
No, that's here. My manager's taking me to an event tonight, but so unfortunately I'll have to leave the convention about 3:30.
Oh, that's a bummer because I was going to invite you to the Schecter party up at the Grove.
Oh, I know. I would have loved to come.
Because it's Black Label Society and New Year's Day.
I know. I love them. But I have to be up in Hollywood Hills tonight, unfortunately.
Oh, hey, you gotta do your job. I get that.
Yeah, I wish I'd have come to NAMM for a little bit longer, but I'm just so busy because I took a month off, so I'm just hitting the ground running.
Well, if I could suggest a booth that you should check out, downstairs, a vendor, check out this place called Strung. It's a jewelry.
And they make it with all guitar strings.
Exactly, and they each they do them with actual guitar strings, and they wrap some of them with beads like the ones I have, and they name them after song. They give it a little title, and they put a song next to it, so it explains why they call it that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, this one is for Fade to Black, the Immortal.
Okay.
Because it's
really like that one, actually.
Yeah, I have the card right here, and it says, Fade to Black, one who is immortal has an undying spirit that will live on forever. They just need the end to set them free.
Okay.
In a way, I kind of bought this in honor of my dad who recently passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thanks. He was a great man. He actually taught me rock and roll.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't a player, but he was a fan, and he was a classic rock guy. And I just evolved into a metalhead on my own. And he's like, well, I don't get your style, but at least you like something. And we kind of bonded over rock and roll. And whenever we go to job sites together, because I worked with him, and, we're listening to his comedy, every now and then he'll be like, what's your station? Oh, Octane. And he's like, all right. And he's like, listen. And then we go to Liquid Metal. We listen to Cattle Decapitation that just comes on. He's like, what kind of a name is this for a band? It's the expression on him was priceless.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's one of those things I'm definitely going to miss about him. But he was so happy that I was actually going to be here. I told him about it before he died, and he's like, congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. Since he knew how much I loved this.
Yeah.
So in a way, NAMM really brings a lot of people together, even if they don't go to NAMM.
Yeah.
So a couple more questions. So you got the new music coming out. Mm-hmm. You got a couple of shows. What are your goals, mainly for the next year or two?
I think, obviously, to get the next record out is my biggest goal. And I want to get it out, by September. I would really like to be able to get out a little bit more. We're going to Vegas in February. I would like to get out and do more of the US and maybe head over to Europe. I think that's just mainly what we're focusing on. Our new manager is he's based in Sweden, so he's working on a few things for us right now. So it really all depends how that goes.
Well, maybe he'll work the phones correctly and get you over to Europe.
That's what we'd like.
Especially playing either Download or Walk-In or Hellfest. Yeah.
That would definitely be the dream.
Or maybe get you on Rock Cruise next year. Maybe you could get on Not Cruise this year.
Oh, that would be dope.
Yeah, you'll be sailing around with Corey Taylor, Jim Root, Mick Thompson, and you're like, oh my God, I'm with these guys. Because I'm trying to go to that one this year. So.
Oh, nice.
And probably just spend a week, spend a few days in Barcelona and taking the sights and hopefully hit on the pretty girls.
That's the way to do it in Barcelona.
Exactly. So, okay, my final question for you, Leah. This is a big one. Are you ready for this one?
I think so.
I don't know. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Who did you prefer growing up? The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
The Rolling Stones.
I think I love you more. Why the Stones?
I just thought, like, I mean, obviously, as I've gotten older, I have a deep appreciation for the Beatles, but I just found the Rolling Stones, they're more badass to me. Like, they had this, like, wild kind of untempered energy that, you know, it was just, that was them, and they were unapologetic, and yeah, you know, Sympathy for the Devil, it's kind of, that's a song that really, like, they wrote that in, like, you know, when it was not okay to sing about the devil. Like, they just had a didn't-give-a-fuck attitude, and they just got out and made music and just were, like, the first true rock stars.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They created the album Satanic Majesty.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the name because I'm a Christian, but, you know, to each his own. I think it had balls, and they were trying to compete with the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Yeah, well, I found that I always liked the Stones because they were risque. You know, they were rough around the edges, and they were just, you know, they were like your typical, like, rock and roll. They were first true, like, rock stars. You know, I know they say the Beatles were, but the Beatles, I don't know. There's something about the Stones that they were just wild and energetic, and it seemed like they couldn't be controlled or contained. They were just too big for everything.
I agree. And my grandfather, who was the pastor today, he actually opened up for the Rolling Stones back in the 60s. Funny story. It was one of those 3-day shows, you know, like they did in the 60s at those fairs. Well, he did 3 shows with them, and then on one day in Pittsburgh, or somewhere in Pennsylvania, and it's a summer day, so it's very hot. Each show, my grandfather would change into a new outfit, and he's looking dapper because he's kind of like a singer-songwriter. And the Stones would wear the same thing over and over again, never changing their clothes. And then the final show, my grandfather looks dapper. He gets off stage, he runs into the Stones, and he notices that they stink. They're sweating up their set clothes and whatever, so the manager tells them, oh, we've been getting complaints about your clothes, would you mind just changing outfits before you go out there? They're like, oh, no problem, Mom. So they do that, and when they go out there, my grandfather can tell you this is true, the fans and the manager and my grandfather notice they just switched with each other's outfits.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Well, that is about as rock and roll as you can get with the Rolling Stones. That's why I love it so much.
Yeah.
And the fact that Mick Jagger, I don't know why, is a father at 75. I just think that's wrong, personally. But then again, it's Mick Jagger. He's not going to give a fuck.
No.
Yeah. But I will say the Beatles also for their later stuff.
Yeah. The Beatles are amazing. I just liked the attitude of the Rolling Stones.
And that's why I think I like you even more. Well, Leah, this was a blast getting to know you a little more.
It was lovely.
This was Leah Brown from Evel Walk. Be sure to check out some new music and new shows when they come to Los Angeles and Vegas near you. And be sure to follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I can't wait to see them live for the first time. I've been meaning to for a while. It's just every time you come around, I'm doing another show. So stop coinciding with my other shows.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Leah, you enjoy the rest of Nan the best you can before you head up back to Los Angeles. And we'll definitely get a drink soon.
You and yes, me. We will.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much. Enjoy Nan.
No worries. Thank you so much, Brent.
Yeah. Thank you from Civil Revolt. Yeah.